is this working? Oh, I'm very deep this morning. thanks so much, Caroline. Wasn't that really great? It's really good to come into God's presence. Right, brilliant. Anyone who left who doesn't know who I am, I'm Becky. Good morning. It's really good to see everyone. Isn't it nice to be in here as well? I love it. We're cozy. Should we shut the hatch? Anyone drafty? Drafty? Drafty. We'll just all pause because the hatch is not subtle. So I won't attempt to say anything whilst the hatch goes down. Oh yeah, please move the things. Do you remember when we had that fire alarm unexpectedly and the hatch came down automatically, sending coffee flying? It was spectacular. You should have been there. It was brilliant. Nobody smoke in the toilets, please. It's quite dramatic. Brilliant. Right, good. I'll try again. So for anyone left who doesn't know who I am, my name is Becky. I'm part of the leadership team of Oasis. I'm the mother of boys. I'm a teacher by day, Batman by night. Most notably, I am a thoroughly imperfect, but totally grace-covered, utterly falling short, please hear me, really falling short, but determined to try, Jesus follower. And that's how I come to you this morning. I am not getting all this right. I do not have, you know, any great wisdom of my own. I'm praying that God will bring his wisdom. But this, none of this is something that I'm getting all right. It's just something I'm trying. And this is speaking as much to me this morning as I hope it will. And I pray that it will to you. So let's just pray, because we need God, not me, don't we? Father God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for this time and this space to focus on you, to open our hearts to you. Thank you for your word that brings us truth, as we heard last week. Would you bring your truth this morning? Would you bring your truth this morning? Would your Holy Spirit be moving amongst us? In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we're in the middle of a series. Oh, it's gone pink. It was red. Imagine it red, please. I liked it red. We're in the middle of a series. Oh, it looks more red over there. Is it just my angle? Maybe. We're in the middle of a series in Oasis at the moment about putting on the armour of God. It's from that famous passage in Ephesians 6 where Paul urges us to equip ourselves with the armour of God. And it is urgent. The way he says it, it is urgent. It's not a polite fashion suggestion, like the ones I try to make to my boys sometimes at the weekends. Doesn't work. Neither is it like this optional extra, the armour of God, for the Christians who are really keen, who want to go fight. That's not how he puts it to us. This is a, we're in the battle already, whether we like it or not, whether we recognise it or not, urgent plea to please equip ourselves and protect ourselves spiritually. Because we're in the battle anyway. And spiritually, if we want to still be standing when the end comes, this is what we need. This is what Paul's saying to us. This is not an optional extra. You can choose not to put it on, but he's not recommending it as just a little suggestion. He's telling us this is what we need if we want to still be standing when the end comes. So, each week we're now looking at one piece at a time, the different armour and equipment available to us in the battle, to try to dig into what each one is, what it's for spiritually, and how, like in real life, we can actually do that so as to stand. So last week we looked at the belt of truth. Hester came, didn't she? She gave us some great new ways to kind of inspire us to dig into the belt of truth, to dig into God's word and soak in it in our lives. And I expect that there's been some fruit of that this week. I hope so. I hope some people have been inspired and been doing more of that this week. Today, we are looking at... cue slide. They're out there. It's funny. I can't make eye contact. Today, we're looking at the... there it is. The breastplate of righteousness. Thank you, Naomi. We're looking at what it is, what it's for, and how that looks in our lives now in the 21st century Britain, when Roman armour isn't really the fashion, let's say. Okay, so what is this breastplate of righteousness that Paul tells us that we need? Well, firstly, I think we perhaps need to think, what is righteousness? because it's not a word that the modern world uses very much, I think, except in the very negative sense when the media likes to point out that someone is very self-righteous. But plain righteous, we don't talk about very much. So what is just plain righteous? What does it mean? Well, of course, I did the usual thing and looked it up. Good old Google. I looked it up firstly in a dictionary, an online dictionary. And that definition, as you can see at the top there, was that righteousness means characterized by uprightness or morality, morally right or justifiable. But then interestingly, Wikipedia, which I also looked at, said it was a theological concept in Christianity, Judaism and Islam that implies that a person's actions are justified and can have the connotation that the person has been judged or reckoned as leading a life that is pleasing to God. So, righteousness then, in some way or another, is about right living. It's about living God's way, living a life pleasing to him. We should do that because it's right, because he's God. We should do that because it's what God calls us to. But here this morning in Ephesians 6, here's another reason. We should live rightly, we should seek righteousness in our lives because it is part of our armour. It protects us from the enemy who would seek to bring us down. He's still going to do that, whether we recognise it or not. And righteousness is what we can use, the Bible says, to protect ourselves. Right living, God's right living, it may have worldly difficulties, which we'll think about in a bit, because it's not the way that many others choose to live around us. But in enabling us to withstand the battle, spiritually speaking, it does have eternal consequences. Okay, and let's notice then, it's not a coincidence, which piece of armour this righteousness is. So let's notice which piece of armour it is, because I think that's pertinent in Paul's picture of how we equip ourselves spiritually. Righteousness is the breastplate. Therefore, what is it there to protect? You can tell the person next to you if you like. It's not there to protect our brains, that right living is always logical by human understanding. It's not there to protect our arms or legs, that right living is going to take us places. No, not necessarily. Righteousness, right living, protects our heart. Therefore, choosing to pick it up and wear it, as it were, spiritually, metaphorically, as part of the armour that God gives us, choosing to put it in place, righteousness, in our lives, in spiritual terms, is literally, Paul's saying, a life or death decision. Okay? We can protect our feet, but if we lost a foot, you know, life would still go on. If our heart is wounded, it can be fatal. And I think it's important to notice that it's the breastplate that Paul says righteousness does in our lives. It's protecting our heart. Right living protects our heart. Scripturally, this isn't a one-off biblical mention of the need to protect our heart. I'm sure lots of verses are probably popping into your brains already. But Proverbs 4, verse 23, for example, very well known again, says, "Guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life." Obviously, guarding our heart's important in a biological, medical sense. But the Bible tells us that it's true spiritually, as I've just said, that it's vital to protect our innermost being, our heart, meaning our sort of soul, our innermost being. The psalmist, I think this one's David, don't we? Psalm 51. The psalmist, David, talks about his need for God to create in him a pure heart. He recognises that when his heart is messed up, he is messed up. When his heart's in a mess, he's in a mess. And we know that. Well, I certainly know that from experience, that when my heart has been wounded, when my heart is messed up, when my heart's polluted or sullied, then I'm in a mess as a whole person. Jesus spoke lots about the heart. He told us that out of our mouth is the overflow of our heart. He was concerned with our heart. Look up the heart in a concordance and you will literally be there for hours. I did think about writing loads of them out so that we could have them on the screen, but I'm sorry, I just didn't. Too many. But that's the point, it's too many. There are loads and loads of references to the heart, to our heart in the Bible. God is very concerned with your heart and the state of your heart, with the condition of it, with the nurture of it, with the protection of it. And that's what the breastplate of righteousness is there to do. So, if I've convinced you that we need it, and we know that righteousness means right living, living God's way, then we've got to look at what that means in our day-to-day, haven't we? We've got to try and root this in something we can actually go away with and do. How do we put this breastplate on? Because it's not actually a real breastplate, obviously. Well, I think the first step, actually, when I was thinking about it, is awakening ourselves to the importance of it in the first place. Because I think one of the most prevalent tactics of the enemy at the moment is to just kind of dull us to that, to deceive us into thinking that right living, living God's way, looking at what that is and trying to do it in our lives is actually just not that important. I think that's one of his chief tactics at the moment. Think how often, maybe this is just me, this could be a very exposing moment, think how often you might think, you know, what difference does it make if I do this little thing here or don't bother to do that little thing there? No one else seems to think it's necessary. Everyone does it. Everyone speaks like that. So why, you know, it's okay if I just speak like it. It's not actually, you know, it's not life or death, surely. That kind of thinking, I think, in our heads and hearts shows already how much the enemy, I think, has eroded our perspective and our resolve and made holes in our breastplate, actually, leaving our heart exposed then to his lies, his arrows, his wounds. Why does it then surprise us when we get wounded, when we get sullied, when our heart feels polluted or just hardened, maybe? So I think the putting on the breastplate of righteousness is in every little decision that we make. It's in awakening our conscience where it's been dulled like that by the world around us and by the enemy. It's in knowing scripture so that we know how God calls us to live. Because unless we know that, how can we put it into practice in our lives? So we need to soak ourselves in scripture so that we actually know what that is. And it's in deliberate individual decisions to stand against the tide and make right choices regardless of what everyone else is doing. It's in intentionality in our actions and words, motivated to make them right in the eyes of God, even if it's not necessarily in the eyes of man. Sounds very grand, doesn't it? Sounds good. As I said at the beginning, it doesn't mean that I'm achieving this, but it does mean it's what I want to do. It's in the small things, isn't it? It sounds very grand, but it's actually in the small things. It's in deciding not to gossip at the school gate or at the toddler group over your coffee. It's in not telling that little white lie that actually everyone else would think was totally acceptable. It's in not having that extra glass of whatever that would lead into drunken or ungodly kind of behaviour or words that you would regret. It's in treating the homeless person that you see on the parade with as much value and dignity as you would your own family, your own loved ones. It's about the little decisions of straightening out your financial world, living within your means, even if that means not having the country living home that your friend has or the clothes from the supposedly right labels or whatever. It means working hard for your boss or your family, whether they appreciate it or not. That's in the word, isn't it? That we work hard because we work as if we're working for the Lord, whoever we are actually working for on earth. So it's working hard for your boss or for your family if you're at home, whether they appreciate it or not, but also, in the Bible, keeping the godly Sabbath rest, which is right and good, even as God himself saw fit to do, whether or not your family or your boss like that or not. As we can struggle with one or the other, can't we? And it's hard. It's hard to make those daily decisions. It's really hard. I have no actual experience of wearing Roman armour, it may surprise you to know. But I'm guessing that wearing a heavy metal breastplate was not that comfortable. And likewise, making these little decisions and standing against the tide and righteous living like this is probably not that comfortable. But which soldier, if we look back at this picture, which Roman soldier would have chosen to stand in the middle of a battle without his breastplate? Yes, it was uncomfortable. I'm sure it got heavy. I'm sure it got sweaty. I'm sure it wasn't what he liked to wear to bed at night. But which one of them would have chosen to stand in the battle without it? So this right living, this breastplate of righteousness that we're urged to wear is not, I don't think, as it's sometimes portrayed, this big stick that God holds over us. This right living, it's not a big stick, you know, you must live right. God doesn't say it like that. It's not an obligation of our faith, actually, or even a way for us to earn God's favour. We know that. We're saved by grace. Righteousness and trying to live God's way is actually his wisdom and his provision. His provision for our protection in the fierce and the hard-fought battle that we're in, so that our heart can be fully protected until that day when it's finally safe with him in his care. So why wouldn't we do our utmost to try and pick it up when you put it like that? That's what I felt when I was preparing this. Let's know our Bibles then. Let's soak in God's truth in as many ways as we can think of, that we would know the right way to live, that we would know God's way, God's choices. And understood fully, this won't be self-righteous. It can accidentally be, can't it? And we need to be really careful of that. But understood fully, it won't be self-righteous. Look at Jesus. He's the most unself-righteous person. Spend time with Jesus. We can't be self-righteous when we make ourselves aware of how far short we fall when we look at him. The planks in our own eye. But humble right living, as best as our completely compromised beings can manage, and with all of God's help, because we'll really need it. Humble right living is spiritual armour. That's what Paul's telling us. And it's given by God for our good, not for our beating. And it will protect our hearts. Again, looking at Jesus, he lived utterly rightly, didn't he? From the earliest moments of his life, right until the very end, never once compromising. He's the example. Never once compromising on the truth that he knew. He never once compromised on his relationship, on his time with the Father. He never compromised on his mission, on his integrity, even under extreme pressure. If you look at someone who dares to speak the truth, that they are the Son of God, to those for whom they know that it will be blasphemy of the highest order and be punishable by death, painful death, that's living righteously under the most extreme pressure imaginable. And in comparison to that, none of our small, difficult daily decisions are really that hard, challenging though they are. But look, living rightly, truthfully, it was hard for Jesus. It brought loads of difficulty and pain. But because of it, the enemy was able to kill his body, but he couldn't keep him. Death couldn't hold him. Death couldn't hold the most perfectly righteous person that has ever, the only perfectly righteous man ever to live. Because in that way, you know, he's got that protection. Righteousness is a protection. And it gets even better, actually, doesn't it, for us? Because however righteously we try to live, obviously we can't be justified before God by that, as in that initial Wikipedia definition. We know as Christians, don't we, that whatever we do, we want to try, but whatever we do, we're going to fall short. On that day before God, we can't be justified by our deeds or words, because we will just fall too far short. Even Mother Teresa and whoever else you can think of falls short. And so ultimately, the enemy could justifiably hold us in death if our lives were the ones being called into account. But amazingly and totally undeservingly, the truth of the gospel is, isn't it, that God himself justifies us and sees us as righteous, perfectly righteous, because of Jesus. I love it. I found this quote, E.W. Kenyon. I have no idea who he is. I'm sorry if that makes me really unread. But E.W. Kenyon, whoever he is, said something brilliant. He said, "My righteousness is just as good as Jesus's righteousness." Because it is Jesus' righteousness. He's talking about our righteousness before God, not what he's achieving sort of in the here and now daily decisions. Our righteousness before God on that final day is Jesus' righteousness, because that's what Jesus achieved on the cross. And if we believe in Jesus and put our faith in him, the Bible tells us that our belief, our faith, is credited to us as righteousness, as Jesus' righteousness. It's throughout the Bible. That look in Romans 4, look in loads of other places. I think when there's some quotes there as well. I'm sorry the references are so tiny for you on these little screens. Like 2 Corinthians, the one in red, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. "For he, God, made him, Jesus, who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. In fact, the same principle was even true before the world had seen Jesus. In Genesis 15, verse 6, it tells us that Abraham believed the Lord and he credited it to him as righteousness. So in terms of this righteousness, this justification before God as being our breastplate, our ultimate protection in the end against the enemy and eternal death, is Jesus's righteousness, given to be ours and credited to us when we believe in him. So we can be confident that we know how this ends, which is really good. But in the meantime, we are in a battle. We are in a battle, whether we recognize it or not. The enemy is out to get us all, to get you. He loves to bring people down. And God's holy, loving, and perfect advice, not his big stick or anything like that, his holy, good provision for us, is that if we want our hearts to best survive that battle, if we don't want to be wounded, if we want to stand for Christ, then we urgently and constantly and daily need to seek to protect our hearts with right godly living right now, every day, with the breastplate of righteousness. And I'm sorry you can't read those words, but you can come and have a look afterwards if you like. That is really all I wanted to say. I just want to kind of give us some food for thought and urge us to do that. I think God gives it for our own good. And that's what struck me the most preparing this. That therefore we don't have to see it as this big difficult burden, but a joy to attempt to do, to implement in our lives for God's goodness to us, to protect our hearts. So should we pray? There are some questions you can look at in small groups in a minute, but let's just pray. Father God, thank you once again for your unfathomable love for us, your unfathomably deep, wide, high, glorious, gracious, forgiving, redeeming love for us. Thank you for that ultimate truth that you have given Jesus, that we may be righteous before you on that day, though we do not deserve it. And thank you that you provide for us a way in this difficult world, in this battle that we're in, a way to protect our hearts, to stand in the battle. Why would we not take it up, Lord? But it is hard. So help us in our everyday decisions. Help us in our everyday lives. Help us to buckle on the truth, but also to make right decisions, to live righteous lives as best that we can in your power and your provision, that we may stand for you, for Christ, until that day. We thank you that comes with your power through the Holy Spirit to put that into place in our lives. And we ask that you would help us in the name of Jesus. Amen. We are going to go to small groups now. There are some questions if you want them.